Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sup, nerds?
Oh God! Hello, my mic just immediately fell. What's going on?
Sup, nerds? How's it hanging out there, Nerd City? You heard me.
This is what you do. Like whenever we do something wrong, you just abuse the people we did it to.
Yeah, because you just can't get enough. You just can't help yourselves.
I guess if they're still listening at this point,
you keep crawling back to us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we kind of fucked up the past a long time, but we're back. For the end of this fucking series, we are starting a cult. That's Grant. I'm Jake. Mitch is in the room. He's wrangling a dog.
Yeah, he's hanging out with Navi. He's free range today, you know?
Yeah. There's free a range. Cat here and everything. Like, he's adjusting.
Yeah, he's free range chilling. We're getting him used to the cat. So, you probably won't hear much barking, but if you do, you know what? You know it's just him. He just loves you guys.
It's just a dog. Trust me, it's a dog.
He knows that we're talking to people, and he loves people.
He loves folks.
He loves people. So that's just kind of his deal. But yeah, we're here to finish up the series today on the West Memphis 17.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
it grew since we were last here, I guess.
I've done that so many times. The West Memphis 69.
You always
the
just
West
add
Memphis
14
2.
Or some or other. Yeah.
But yeah, we're here to wrap it up finally. How about that, guys? The story will be concluded for you today.
You're going to find out what happens.
That is true.
I honestly wrote this script like last week, and then the shift was called off, so I was like, So I don't remember pretty much anything. This might just not make sense. Who knows?
Well, you know what? We're in it together. We're here for this.
So yeah, well, I'm reading a story at the same time as you're hearing it. You know, we're all learning together.
So be ready to sit back and enjoy, you bitch.
Jesus. All right, West Memphis 3, part 3. Wait, is this 3 or 4?
Four? I think it's four.
I don't know.
I'm pretty confident it's
all right,
four.
So this is the first inconsistency with my notes. It says three.
Disregard everything that's said.
Disregard that, but I don't know. Maybe listen for the ride.
Yeah, sure. Here we go.
So we left off last time with all three of the West Memphis three boys being brought into police custody, and their trials are the next things on the docket.
Yes. All right.
And let's just say the trial seems to, as though... It was over before it began. Because we discussed the judge a little bit.
Oh, and, the know, judgy judge.
The general air of people's opinions of these folks.
Judge Judgington, the judgiest, the third.
Yeah, the guy who didn't like psychology.
Pretty much.
So, oh my God, that was my computer. It's muted.
Dings. We're getting dings,
dude, we're
baby.
Rusty, bro. This is crazy.
All fuck right. It. Bring it on.
Jesse Miskelly. All right, you know, his lawyer, Mr. Stidham, he did all he could, unsuccessfully, to keep Jesse's confession tape out of the courtroom.
Okay.
Because he believed that that's all the prosecution had on him specifically, right? But what do you know, the prosecution had a bit more of what's pervaded this story thus far, which is just bullshit, in the form of Vicky Hutchison.
Ooh.
The bitch, the waitress. She's just lying all the time. So she was brought into court to testify about possible motives Jesse may have had in doing what he claimed he had done in the confession tape.
Okay, okay.
You know, because Stidham rightly pointed out that to the court that Jesse had no motivation to do this at all.
Yeah, there is nothing there.
It's like,
what's
my motivation?
There's no what's my motivation, boss? What do I do?
Exactly.
He's an actor without direction, you know?
Yeah, and they're trying to give him some after the fact. Come on.
Yeah.
It doesn't even work in any sense.
Agreed.
All right. Well, Vicky, she came in and told her little story about Damien and Jesse taking her to their little Satanist gathering in the woods. You remember that?
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. And that was more than sufficient to thoroughly scare the jury. And apparently satiate their need for a motive somehow, because that just wasn't a motive.
Uh-huh.
It was just a story about something that didn't happen.
Oh, yeah, that's no motive.
So
there's
like, what was the motive? Like, we have the exact right person for this. She just says something completely off kilter.
Yeah, but, you know, that's sort of where this story's at. They're taking whatever they can get.
Yeah. And the final person to be called to the stand, the self-appointed Satanist hunter, an expert of West Memphis. Who do you think it is?
I fucking love that idea. Just the idea that I'm a Satanist hunter.
Yeah, dude, Jerry Driver is that guy.
I'm out here taking names and killing Satan one person at a time.
Dude, he was the guy who basically had all this happen. He put it all into motion. He was the catalyst.
Yeah, Baby Driver was going through all this shit and picking up Satanists.
Exactly.
That's his beef, man.
Exactly. Jerry Driver, he was brought up. And, you know, with all his expertise and everything and, like, all the knowledge he has on demonology, guess what he did?
Lied.
all he was brought in to confirm was that he'd seen the boys together around town every now and again.
That's all he needed
to
convict.
That's all he brought to the table when it actually came down to, his shining moment for taking these boys down.
I mean, if you want to convict somebody, what more do you need? That's it, you know?
I've seen them around town sometimes. Yeah, he claimed that he first saw them, when he first saw them, they were walking down the road in long black coats, and they were carrying staffs.
Oh, okay, all right. So,
in no way could that be like a walking stick or like literally any, no, staffs.
No, it simply is not.
That's literally all he had to offer the jury for Jesse's trial.
Sounds about fair.
Yeah, the man who arguably caused the entire thing. Anything that that would have greatly assisted the defense in the trial was barred by the judge. Who, again, was not the biggest fan of the boys, to begin with. All right? The former FBI polygraph expert that saw the results of the lie detector tests given by Durham, remember? Durham is a guy who's, giving vague-ass reports, and he's like, no, I think what I think is right. So
I
remember. So, he was the former FBI polygraph dude. He was brought in to look at those. He was not allowed to testify that the results were read incorrectly because the judge decided that his testimony wasn't permitted in the case.
Oh, that's great. That's excellent.
Yeah, wasn't permitted because it wasn't pertinent, apparently.
Ah, of course, yes.
Yeah, that makes no difference. An expert on false confessions was also unable to testify because, as we covered last time, this judge didn't believe in psychiatry or psychology. Navi, you can't attack your father like that.
Navi, you got to get down.
You got to get off
Mitch,
of him.
You got to hit it.
All right. We have a training collar for Navi.
Yeah, we do. And it's efficient. People don't like it, though. They're like, oh, that's not good for the dog. Well, you know what? It doesn't hurt, all right?
Nah.
It frightens
him a little bit.
It gives him a little spook, and then he's good to go.
Exactly.
He's safe. Don't worry.
So anyway, the false confessions expert dude, he was not allowed to come in. The judge hated psychiatry, psychology. Didn't think it had a place in the court system. Anyway, basically any, avenue of proving innocence was basically forbidden before arguments could even be made.
You have evidence? Not on my watch,
it's like,
bitch.
That might make me not want to do what I want to do, so.
Yeah, I'm going to vote.
You're not allowed in here.
I'm going to vote you can't point out what I'm doing is wrong, because I don't want anyone to be right but me.
Exactly,
so.
Exactly.
Fuck you.
So, that was pretty much the end of the trial. It was like, Jerry Driver came in, he's like, I seen him. And then that was over. So, after only one day of deliberation, the jury came back and found Jesse Miskelly guilty of first-degree murder of Michael Moore, because remember, he said he retrieved him.
Yeah, it was the wrong Michael Moore, guys. I know we said that before, but it was the wrong one.
Yeah, it wasn't the Bowling for Columbine guy. That guy should have had this kid's fate. But
it should have been him. It should have been him.
So yeah, first degree for Michael Moore, and he was also convicted of second degree murder on Stevie Branch and Christopher Byers' part. So that's not good. The only person to be surprised by this verdict was Jesse.
Really?
Like, yeah. He was like, how could this have fucking happened? For the first time... wait a minute. Oh, yeah. For the first degree charge, Jesse got life in prison with no chance of parole. And got an extra fuck you of 40 additional years for the two second degree murders. So Jesus. He was just never going to get out.
Like, yeah, he's
no
in there for...
chance.
I mean, unless he takes some type of never-dying pill, or possibly, what was that book?
A never-dying pill, yes.
What was that book, Tuck Everlasting, where they drink the water that makes them live forever?
Oh, it's the Fountain of Youth or whatever?
It's sort of, but unless he gets access to something like that, he will not be getting out.
Theoretically, yeah, that's what he's sentenced to.
I don't think many prisons in America have access to that type of technology either. I don't know.
That just be an extra sadistic thing for the prison system to only use it for people in prison for life or like hundreds of years or something.
Yeah, like, well, you're going to serve this whole time.
They're the only ones that get access to this drug that makes you live forever.
I could see that
people were punishing.
That isn't a very American thing, though. That really is.
No, yeah, we're all about overkill, you know.
Oh, we do it well, baby.
We love
it. You ever had a fucking double baconator? Talk about overkill.
Oh, God, it's insane.
It's good, but, oh, God.
All right, yeah, so it's not looking good for Jesse. Life in prison plus 40 years. However, the judge did hold off on his final sentencing of Jesse until Damien and Jason's trial was over. All right.
Okay.
He told Jesse that his sentence could be reduced if he testified against Damien and Jason in their trial. This prompted Jesse to give another confession, completely different from the one heard in court, to the cops that were transporting him to the jail after the trial.
Oh, really?
In the car. He was just like, all right, so here's actually what happened. Like, after his trial.
Here's what went down.
Yeah. In this confession, Jesse claimed that he, Damien, and Jason were in Robin Hood Hills at night smoking weed, and like he brought a bottle of Evan Williams, apparently, that he'd got from Vicky Hutchinson.
Ooh, okay,
right?
Okay.
So it's like all the characters are there, it's just different stuff going on. Saw the three eight-year-old boys and decided to go mess with them.
Really?
You know, they were just getting stoned and just drunk in the woods. They're like, let's go mess with these kids in the woods. Jesse and Damien grabbed one of them, and then the other two young boys started attacking him.
Damn.
Or Jesse said Damien did this, so Damien was acting alone. The other two boys were attacking him. Jason and Jesse then started beating the other two boys with sticks.
That's great.
Yeah. Jesse then said that Damien and Jason went on to take turns raping the boys, and Jason mutilated Christopher's genitals with a locking pocket knife.
Well, shit.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel about that, but shit.
Jesse claimed that he then took the bottle of whiskey and he started, you know, walking home because he was just like, I'm not going to be a part of this. And he slammed the bottle against the concrete in disgust on his way there, you know.
Oh,
he's like, oh, I can't believe that just happened.
I don't like this.
I don't even want this anymore.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly. Again, Jesse had the mental capacity of a third grader, and he was scared. So he thought the faster he talked, the faster it would all be over and done with. He was just like, this can't be. I have to say something else. The first thing didn't work.
Yeah, maybe just
so
keep going.
So he's just like saying shit.
He's throwing shit at the wall, seeing what's going to stick, and let him go home tonight.
And, like, honestly, this second confession is more, like, brutal and, like, less, you know, like, frilly with Satanism as it is.
Mm.
It seems more realistic.
It does. It does.
You know? But I don't think this happened either. Anyway, in any case, this new confession ended up being investigated as far as it could, you know? And when police found that there was a broken Evan Williams bottle off the freeway by the most highly traveled intersection in the country... They saw it as proof that this new confession may actually be the real one.
Really?
So they found a broken bottle of Evan Williams after it just appeared in a story, and they were like, oh my god.
This is it, boys.
I think this might be it.
This is it. We got it.
This is where we break this all wide open.
The key is this Evan Williams bottle.
The key is always Evan Williams.
Always, dude. Especially if you're trying to drive home at night. What more do you need than a nice glass of Evan Williams, you know?
Exactly. Just a
nip. Or seven, you know?
Just a nip. All right. Well, but with this new confession, it poses a lot of problems with evidence already collected and facts already agreed upon, right? That we're, like, actively being discussed in court.
Yeah.
So, if Jason used a locking pocket knife, then what good is the serrated combat knife that was found behind his house in that lake? You know?
Well, valid point.
Like, that details, like, it's out the window. So, and then there was no blood at the scene in reality, but Jesse claimed that blood was fucking everywhere.
It was fucking all over the joint.
You know, and Jesse said Damien and Jason raped the boys. There was absolutely no evidence that any of the victims were raped pre or post mortem.
Well, thank God for
that. I know. Thank God for that. Just a mutilated penis. Jesse was even asked about the rape part in his story and told that there was, like, no signs of that, to which he said, oh yeah, they were gonna do it, but they didn't.
Excellent storytelling,
so
Jason.
He just changed. No, it was Jesse.
Oh, Jesse.
But
sorry.
It's just like, what the? You're just changing the shit. Anyway.
Excellent storytelling.
That just goes to show how not true any of this is.
I was going to rape this guy, but then I, like, decided I'm not going to rape this guy, so I didn't. Like, well, then why'd you even mention the
excellent
first part,
news,
you know?
I suppose. Not There's the first no part, I guess, but
no bearing on the story, but I appreciate the honesty. That is also a lie somehow.
Yeah.
But thank you for that, Jesse.
You're That's honestly lying. I don't like it, I think.
That's so very, very sweet of you. I love it.
All right, so we're getting to the other trial. The date of Jason and Damien's trial was approaching now, okay? In the midst of all this, the new confession, all these new holes in the plot, and the police, in order to scare Jesse into being a sure thing to when it came to testifying, God damn it, I wrote this so stupid. So the police are just like, we have to get Jesse to testify. So what do? They tell him that if he didn't testify against Jason and Damien, they might go free.
What?
And they went on to say that where do you think the first place they're going to go is after all this and everything you've said about them? Oh, it's going to be your girlfriend's house. God knows what they're going to do to her.
They're going
to
kill her.
Apparently, Jesse had a girlfriend.
They're going to kill her. They're going to kill her, Jesse. She's going to die because of you.
And do that thing that you said that they did to the boys, but then later said, oh, wait, no, they didn't do that.
Oh, wait, just kidding. That didn't happen. This horrible, heinous crime. We were just kidding.
Yeah.
That wasn't real.
So the police are using his girlfriend as leverage to be like, you have to do this or these boys are going to kill and possibly do worse things to your girlfriend.
I mean, I hate to say it, but, like, yeah, obviously they're going to do that shit. The guy will listen to anything. You could tell him, if you say green bean really slow, it sounds like gullible, and I'll spend the next 8 hours saying green bean.
I mean,
and be like, what?
Dude, he gave them, like, what? He gave them a completely brand new confession, one that they didn't drill into his head, and they still corrected him.
Yeah. So like, he's all over the fucking map.
Like, it's insane. First place to go is going to be Jesse's girlfriend's house. That's what they said. But a sort of sweet moment happened between Jesse and his father after that, right? Sort of a nice man-to-man, father-son sort of thing. So Jesse's father, he told him that if he testified and lied, he'd have to live with that the rest of his life. But if he told the truth, and if he eventually got out of prison, he could live on as an honest man with a cleared name. So it's like it's a big integrity thing.
Yeah, it's the principle.
It's the principle of all this.
You can get out of this based on the right principles, son.
Yeah. So up until this point, the conversation between father and son, Jesse was going to testify because he was like, I can't spend my life plus 40 years in there. Come on. But the conversation happened. So just before the trial, Jesse made the decision not to testify. Very small victory, but it's a victory nonetheless, I suppose. Didn't really change the outcome.
In any real court setting, his testimony would be just thrown out because the guy is a simpleton. I mean, call it what it is. Like, they're not going to take that testimony, you know?
I don't care that he's a simpleton. I'm just afraid of the devil.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay.
I'm only afraid of Satan and what his wares are.
That's his wares. What is he, a fucking salesman?
Damn right.
He's coming around selling you fucking snake oil and shit?
Selling you to the dark side.
Well, I'm sold
the other
already.
Side of the street. You know,
God's never tried to sell me anything. You know? At least the devil's trying.
That is true.
Take it for what that is,
that
fellas.
That is true. What has God ever sold you?
Like that,
it's a good thing to sell people things.
Yeah, it is, man, you know.
You think?
I mean, you know, at least if you're offering something, you know. I mean, come on, let me get a choice here, you know.
Well, the stuff the devil is associated with is cool stuff, like, you know, like gluttony and murder.
I like gluttony, man. Like, if that's where I'm going in hell, that is fine by me. I just get to eat all the time.
Sloth, dude? Hell yeah.
Gluttony and sloth.
Are you kidding me?
And then I'm proud of that. So that's three of those.
And then I'm proud of that.
Yeah, I'm already touching three bases on this one.
Yeah, I have a lot of undeserved pride.
Yeah, it's completely undeserved, too. But, you know.
Thanks, Satan.
It's there, and I'm going to worship it. You know?
Hell yeah, dude. Worship the bull. Anyway, so Jesse's ducking out of the trial didn't really hinder the prosecution much for the trial of Damien and Jason. They had the knife found in the lake behind Jason's house. They had witnesses of Damien's softball game confession. Remember that? When he was just, like, gathering a bunch of fucking high schoolers around in a softball game? Like, yeah, I killed the kids.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it again. And it's like, all right, well. They had witnesses claiming that they saw Damien walking on the road that night in muddy clothes. And they had a microscopic cloth fiber. Or a couple fibers. Microscopic clothing fibers, a lot of them. That were found on the victims that were similar to some of the articles of clothing found in Jason and Damien's homes.
Ooh, so we're getting places.
Yeah. So the fiber thing is especially fucking ridiculous because, one, they were not matches to the clothing found in the boys' trailers. They were just similar.
Oh, okay.
Okay? And two, the fibers were, like, similar to the blouse of a woman's robe. So unless Damien and Jason were cross-dressing in their mother's clothing the night they supposedly murdered these three boys, these fibers only prove that most people in this town bought clothes from the same place.
Which they probably did. You know,
that's,
like
that's all it is. But it was used in court. And we all know what happened. Anyway, Damien specifically is not doing well leading up to this trial, right? He tried to kill himself in jail a couple times, actually. He attempted an overdose on antidepressants, as well as he just tried to starve himself. He's like, this will work.
That's a tough one, man.
Yeah, that's the long con, you know. Guess what else?
Epstein didn't kill himself.
Well, that's true, but his girlfriend was also pregnant.
That's hilariously
Damien's girlfriend
sad.
Was pregnant, and she had given birth just before the trial began.
That is hilariously horrible. Like, not funny. It's just so bad it's funny.
You know what's crazy? It's like he's trying to commit suicide. His girlfriend just had a baby. He was attempting to plan a wedding after unsuccessfully killing himself, all in the wake of him going on trial for a triple homicide.
He's like, well, I couldn't get out of it, so I guess I'll just live with the marriage.
I feel like that's quite the weight that would, you know, bear down on anyone.
Oh, yeah, it'd have some effects on you.
Let alone a fucking child.
No questions, right? Man. You'd be suffering for sure.
He doesn't seem like he's having a good time. And Jason, he was proving to be rather, like, heroic in all this. He's the heroic character here because despite numerous attempts by the police to get Jason to flip on Damien, Jason denied each one.
Really?
It would mean he would have to lie. And he was just like, no, I'm not going to lie. Like, why would I do that?
What's the point?
You know, they first came to him with an offer of a measly 40-year sentence. So he was still going to go to prison for 40 years if he flipped on his best friend. And
I mean,
lied.
That's not even worth it at that point.
Yeah, Jason denied it. They then came to him with the promise of a 10-year sentence.
All right, now you're making
that's
sense.
That's way better for a triple murder that you supposedly did.
Yeah, that's way better. You're talking with good behavior, maybe a good 7 years or something. I don't know.
But Jason denied it. He's a very, he's full of integrity.
Yeah, he knows what's going
on
here. He's against it. He's against the hierarchy here.
Yeah.
I'm pro Jason.
No, Jason's a good guy. He's the one with the kick-ass mullet.
Oh, never mind. I'm against them.
You don't like mullets, bro?
No.
You don't appreciate a well-kempt mullet?
I can't say that I do. I never got it. It's like, hey, I mean, if you enjoy it, then go for it.
Exactly, but you don't got to have it on your head. When you see it on other people, what's your first thought?
Ew.
Ew.
I mean, I don't like, I'm not like, oh, that guy's a bad person. It's just, I look at that and immediately I'm like, ew.
You're just like, oh, questionable choice.
Yeah, ew, what are you thinking? You know?
I appreciate a good mullet.
Wrong.
So, well, whatever, man.
Wrong.
You're a big fan of Jason here.
Wrong.
All right, well, he was so sure that he wouldn't get convicted that he told the police that he wouldn't lie even if they told him he could go home that very day.
Damn.
All right, he's like a...
Stone cold.
He's a true friend and very honest. He's a fucking badass.
We enjoy those people, you know?
Exactly.
You got it. You can't have enough.
Mullet or not, you know?
You can't just ask people to be that way. They got to be born that way. And you don't meet a lot of them, so that's impressive.
That's true. Good guy. When the trial began, prosecution chose to not even mention the satanic angle. All right? That was at the beginning. That was to come later, okay?
Oh, yeah. That's the cherry on top.
Yeah. So the very first thing the prosecution did was drive home the gruesome details of the murders themselves. Okay? So their main man in discussing these like details was Assistant Medical Examiner Dr. Frank Peretti.
Okay? Peretti.
And I don't know if you guys remember from the other episodes of this series, the medical examiner's office is not very good.
Yeah,
not very top shelf medical examination going on.
Everything about this place geographically is just not very good.
Yeah, it took them like a month to get literally anything to the police. So they're a month into the investigation with absolutely no medical information at all.
It should have been at least 27 days faster.
Yeah. And an emphasis on the assistant medical examiner. Dr.
Yeah, they
Fred
couldn't
Peretti.
Be bothered with the full, you know, the yeah. full manager.
No, the real guy, he's too busy not giving things that people need right away. So the one and only fact about this guy that needs to be mentioned going into this next part is that he failed the test to become a fully certified medical examiner twice and then opted out of taking it again.
That's hilarious.
But he somehow just has this job.
That is great. I love every second of that.
Peretti, he was very good at autopsying victims. Like, he was actually good at that.
Freak.
But where he fell short in every case he'd ever been a part of was his conclusions regarding his findings.
He'd cut open the body. This was the basic one. He'd cut open the body. He'd see an abnormality in the heart. And, you know, he'd be like, perhaps this was, a heart problem. I don't know, maybe it was a minor heart attack. Okay, then in his findings, he would just say something as simple as this. The person was shot in the back of the head with a slingshot loaded
like,
with a can of
fuck,
cheese
man.
Whiz. And when it entered the body, the base of the skull, it completely ruptured the brain, causing the heart to bruise and be swollen, causing the smallest of heart attacks post-mortem. And then they would just look at this guy and pretty much be like...
wow, I didn't even know that was possible.
Sir...
Okay.
You might be stupid, to say the least. To say the most, you should kill yourself.
There you go. He should be on the table himself. But
yeah.
No, he basically just should have been a butcher, but I'm sure this job paid better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's more interesting. You know, you get to butcher things that butchers don't get to butcher, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah. How often does a butcher get to, you know, butcher a human?
That's some back alley butchering, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
How did you get that gig?
Mitch sent us a video of some cooking show where, like, they were eating human flesh. That was fun.
Yeah, that's
kind of want to try it.
I mean,
you don't want to?
Okay.
I hear it's similar to pork.
You've talked me into it. I'm interested.
All right, let's
I'll
eat
try.
A guy. Let's eat a guy.
I'll try. Let's find somebody.
All right, so here we go. Anyway, yeah, he's not very good. He failed the test. He's good at cutting people up, not good at figuring out what happened. That's all you need to know about this guy. Peretti, he assisted by all the extremely disturbing, you know, and grotesque photos. He was showing them to the jury there.
Oh, yeah, why not?
He brought out all the photos of the victims. He made false claim after false claim regarding his findings. And said he'd used a forensic book for reference on his findings, written by a man named Vincent DeMeo, a man that Peretti claimed to know personally, actually.
DeMeo.
Little
old DeMeo.
little side note on this claim. There is a documentary called West of Memphis on the case of West Memphis 3.
Uh-huh.
And in that documentary series, the real life Vincent DeMeo is brought in and shown the findings of Dr. Peretti, as well as the autopsy photos. And his unscripted reaction to them is that Peretti didn't know what the fuck he was talking about.
This guy is a fucking moron. He should not be doing this job.
He's like, I know the guy that wrote the book. And then he just comes in and shits on him.
I like that. That's somebody's got to be real in this scenario. Yeah, you know? Yeah, somebody's got to be honest.
Yeah. DeMeo, he said that there was like no evidence that a knife was even used on these victims. In his professional opinion, much of the bruising and scrapes more than likely came from animals post-mortem.
Okay.
That was his professional opinion.
We have some rational discourse happening here.
Yeah. Specifically, he said turtles more than likely caused most of the external damage, including Christopher Byers' genital mutilation.
Interesting theory. I didn't know turtles were such deviants.
Oh, yeah. They're all snapping turtles.
I'm getting worried now.
Just about turtles?
In general.
Just
are they
in
around?
General. Just a vague anxiety.
A sense of a cautious wonder.
Impending turtles, yeah. So anyway, Peretti, he set the stage for the prosecution with a vivid and incorrectly detailed like story of the murders.
Okay.
Right? While showing the jury a bunch of fucking pictures of mutilated children at the very beginning of this trial. So they were primed to pretty much be like, all right, these are the guys that did it. Just how long are we going to send them away for?
Fair point.
Is probably what the jury was going to be saying. All right, a kid named Michael Carson, right, who'd been in the same juvenile detention center as Jason, actually, was then brought to the stand, left field, totally out of nowhere. It's just like, this guy, I remember him from prison. And he said that Jason told him some details about the murders while they were locked up together.
Oh.
Which is just lies, which we'll find out here. Carson testified that Jason told him that he sucked the blood from Christopher Byers' then mutilated penis and then proceeded to put the testicles in Byers' mouth.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah, you got me interested.
So some things to know about this Michael Carson guy. He was a gas huffer and he did acid like a lot.
So he's like the most reliable source in this whole town.
Yeah, and his own case wasn't looking too good for him. Okay, so Carson decided that he'd just remembered some details about the active investigation that was going on from a past cellmate.
I can't believe I forgot to tell you this, but I totally saw this guy suck off a detached penis of a corpse. And then I saw him put the balls in his mouth. It was weird.
It was crazy.
I don't know how I didn't mention that earlier, but yeah.
So we were just in the mess hall. We were eating like spaghetti and meatballs. He's like, you know what this reminds me of?
That fat cock I sucked all that blood out of. Yeah, I remember.
Anyway, this is not at all an attempt to get a lighter sentence. No way. No way. And this wasn't even a lie to this kid because he had been told these details by his juvenile corrections therapist during one of their sessions. So it was a rumor that the therapist had heard for some reason felt it was appropriate to divulge during a session with an ex-cellmate of Jason.
Okay, all right, I see where it's headed.
So his juvenile corrections therapist was like, you want to know what your cellmate did there?
Cut off the dick and balls.
Cut a kid's penis off, suck the blood, and put the balls in his mouth. It's like, what the fuck?
Like, wow.
What kind of session is this?
This is horrible for my mental health.
Good lord. So that's crazy. This is after some time in... Yeah, wait a minute. Ah, fuck.
It was a rumor that
he had heard from his correctional therapist. Felt it was appropriate to tell him. This is after some time in the trial, and it was at week 3 that the prosecution brought up the topic of Satanism. It took him 3 weeks to actually get to the Satanist angle.
Damn.
All right. The very judge expressed his lack of knowledge as to what an occult was. He said, I don't know what an occult is, which is hilarious in and of its own right.
Yeah, it's a fun sentence.
But in any case, like the prosecution attempted to explain it using books that Damien read.
Oh.
So remember, like, Damien was a big reader because, you know, he wanted to maybe have a moment to escape his dreary and utterly sad life.
Yeah, he found his escape.
Yeah, the books Damien read were mostly like Anton LaVey and Stephen King. And the prosecution explained to the judge that it's like that. So that
it's like when a hedge maze comes to life and haunts a family inside of a hotel that's been abandoned for the winter.
Yeah, there's
that's
gonna be
what
a clown
the occult is.
Shows up every like 27 years, gonna kill a bunch of kids,
and the jury's just eating it up. Like, what the fuck? This shit's terrifying.
Wow, I can't believe that
they like this.
It was explained that the writings of Anton LaVey were sets of guidelines on the subject of Satanism, and that Stephen King mainly wrote on horror proclivities. So the kid is just fucked up.
Well,
Damien's
fair.
Just so fucked up for liking horror.
It could be viewed that way, but it doesn't make him a monster.
Yeah, I mean, like, we have this podcast. I don't know. So it was also noted that on the night of the trial, there was a full moon.
Full moon.
Uh-oh. which was supposed to... It supposedly, like, it was prime time for this kind of murderous behavior.
Okay.
So in court, they said, like, yeah, the day of the murder, so it was a full moon. Anyway, everything about Damien's day-to-day life was then scrutinized all the way down to, like, his Master of Puppets Metallica poster in his room. Like, they brought...
Satan?
They brought that up in court. They're like, you see this poster? Where do you think this is?
It's Satan coming into the room!
It's in a murderer's room.
Liar!
They connected it to Satanist, like, practice and ritual. But the prosecution still needed to link Jason Baldwin into all this somehow. And you know what they did? They counted his black heavy metal t-shirts.
I'd be in prison.
At 15. He had 15 of them. Yeah, dude, your fucking collection's crazy. You have, like, 50 different metal shirts.
I think, yeah, I counted them, like, maybe last year. I think I've only bought a couple since then, but when I counted them last year, I was up to, like, 64.
That's insane.
So I should be up to, I'm close to 70, so I'd be in prison.
You'd be in prison 4 times over and some change.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 15 black heavy metal, specifically black heavy metal shirts.
Oh, okay, well, that number's probably lower. Some of them aren't black than I am.
All right. Well, still. That is how the prosecution linked Jason Baldwin to all of this. That's literally it. That's the only thing they did.
Good Lord.
And he got confused. All right. God, so the jury then thought of Damien and Jason as satanic murderers. You know, the shirts really did it.
They sold it, baby.
But that wasn't the end. It was after this that the prosecution brought in a couple of girls who supposedly...
Bring in the girls!
They were present at the supposed softball game confession of Damien. And that was all, that was all that was necessary. Damien and Jason were officially convicted after 4.5 hours of deliberation.
It's been decided.
Yeah. It was then that the jury took a mere 2 hours and 20 minutes to decide that Jason would spend his life in prison and Damien would be sentenced to death.
Well, that was very impartial of them.
Yeah. Less than 2.5 hours. Like, we're going to kill that kid, right?
Yeah,
oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get the bailiff to, like, bring us more snacks and shit.
You know they decided that shit within 15 minutes. You know that.
They decided it before they were even, like, in the trial. Like,
but they'd be like, fuck, you know, if we just do this now, I'm going to have to go back to work. It's only, like, noon.
It's like, I took off, like, I told them I was going to be gone all week.
Yeah, so okay. could we like, bring in a round of lemonades and we'll just
I want to go to Deep River Water Park after this.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd
Wouldn't
be
that just Lazy River all day?
Oh, fuck yeah. Fuck these kids. I'm going to the Lazy River.
Too many kids anyway crowding up my Lazy River.
I'm getting rid of 3 of them, bitch. They're not going to bother me.
Yeah. The death sentence, as it always seems to do, took a long-ass time and luckily never came to fruition. as for Jesse and Jason, they seem to kind of adapt to prison life pretty quickly, actually. You know, like, they found their niches within prison, like, rather quickly. And did all right, like, behind bars, you know? Damien, however, he had a way worse experience during his time in prison. He was isolated, swarmed by mosquitoes that thrived just outside of his cell in stagnant water.
That's funny.
It's awful.
I mean, it's torture. Don't get me wrong.
That's insane.
If that was for a real criminal, that'd be funny.
That is a special type of fucked up. It's like, you're going to be locked in this place, and there's mosquitoes everywhere.
There's nothing you're going to do about it, kid.
What is it with this entire story having, like, a MacGuffin of mosquitoes?
I don't know. Well, it's the swamps,
they're
dude.
They're so present everywhere.
Down in the swamps, bro. I mean, it's not like the swamps, but they got swamps, you know?
They got enough for mosquitoes. So, yeah, he was not having a good time. All these mosquitoes. He was kind of just treated like garbage the entire time. And his outside time for 1 hour a day, he said he was transferred to a windowless room. From a windowless room to a cell with a single slim window with bars.
Damn.
Like a single, like, very, probably not even big enough to get through, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That was his outside time, was going from a windowless room to one with a window.
Oh, well, that's lovely.
Yeah. He was also regularly beaten by guards.
Fair.
Just, like, beating the shit out of this kid.
Fair.
Needless to say, his experience in prison was very different from Jason and Jesse. Fun fact about Damien's time in solitary confinement. He now has to wear sunglasses 24/7 because his eyes are not accustomed to sunlight anymore.
He's got to wear prism glasses.
To this day.
Because the goat man... Oh, wait, wrong story.
No, he's not fucking Zach Baggins. Is it Baggins or Baggin?
Baggins.
Biggins?
Zach Baggins.
Like the fucking dog treats?
Dude, the way he says Baggins? It is Zach Baggins. That is the way he pronounces it. It's
he doesn't know
name.
Anything.
I
his
believe
name
him.
Is Baggins.
It's his own name.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
But anyway, alright, so Damien, his eyes are all fucked up, dude. He's gotta wear sunglasses everywhere, 24/7, to this day. All
right, Snoop
Damien
Dogg.
Has to wear them all the time. All right. So, this all being said, there was an enormous amount of outreach, like, regarding this trial. In the celebrity world, Peter Jackson, director of Lord of the Rings, and among, you know, a bunch of other successful movies.
And that, what was that other one? Bad Taste?
Bad Taste, dude. Yeah. Wait, that was the one with the...
The pig people, like the alien monsters?
Yeah, and they were, like, trying to do an intergalactic fast food chain made with people or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That. Dude, that was a badass
That
movie.
Was him, too, believe it or not.
Yeah. So, Peter Jackson, you know, he's into some of the darker stuff, but also Lord of the Rings. He donated to the cause of these young men, you know, for seeing such injustice. He was, you know, donating to the legal teams trying to exonerate them.
Yeah.
This was accompanied by Eddie Vedder, Johnny... yeah, that guy. Everyone knows that guy, honestly. Johnny Depp, Henry Rollins, Natalie Maines, and just like a shit ton of other ones. But they were all, like, publicly just like, these boys are, like, totally innocent. Like, can you guys not see what the fuck
yeah,
is
Yeah, are you guys seeing what I'm
what is
seeing?
Going on in West Memphis? Like, I don't even understand. Let's see. But all appeals were denied, largely due to the fact that Judge Burnett, which was the, you know, the judge, he was still the deciding factor in all of these hearings.
Someone should just have fucking killed that guy.
That would have made everything way quicker. He seemed to have, like, a vendetta against these boys, and celebrity was not swaying him.
His wife cheated on him with a Satanist.
Maybe. Ooh, wouldn't that be juicy?
It's that simple. That's what it is.
I gotta imprison these kids and kill one of them, because they might grow up to fuck my wife.
Yep, that's his biggest fear, man.
You pussy. Oh, God. All right. The only thing that got Burnett out of the picture was, sadly... the fact that he was, like, promoted. He was promoted in the state and replaced by another man named David Laser.
Laser.
Laser. And just after Burnett was relieved of his previous duty, he just so happened to become a spokesperson against the death penalty.
Interesting.
Isn't that weird, huh? That's so weird.
Isn't that weird?
His victim was a key. Well, anyway, the new judge dealing with the boys' trials allowed them to admit to an Alford P. plea. Fuck! Alford plea.
Yeah, an Alford P.
Alford P, dude. An Alford plea, which I had no fucking clue what that was. I looked it up. It's when a defendant maintains their innocence while admitting to the fact that the evidence posed against them would for sure lead to an actual conviction.
I mean, isn't that just an innocent plea?
Pretty much, but, like, this just leaves less room for wiggling.
All right, you know okay. what I mean? That's interesting.
So they're just like, all right, I'm admitting that the evidence looks bad on my part. Terrible, even. But I'm innocent. So that's what they plead. And it's just batshit insane to me.
It's funny that that has to exist.
Yeah. So this was a situation that would get all three boys out of prison, no problem. And Damien and Jesse were all for it. But Jason almost fucked up the whole thing for all of them because he was trying to demand a new trial instead. This is where his, like, this is where his heroic status...
It went too
when
far.
It came to honesty, it overstayed its welcome, like, so bad.
Yeah, it was time to pack it in, yeah. Kid.
But you know, the fact that if the three went to trial again and lost, Damien surely would have died, that kept Jason from abstaining from this plea.
Oh, okay.
So, all three boys, now men, you know, they took the deal and they were released on August 19th, 2011. 18 years, Mitch. They were in prison for 18 years. They all spent behind bars. And all it took was a reasonable judge and the cooperation of just with one another to get out. So the support, you know, of like celebrity influence did a lot for like public opinion of the boys. But what saved them was literally just a change of scenery in the judge department.
Hey, like I said, someone should have fucking killed that judge.
Isn't that insane? He got promoted instead.
I mean, that's fine, as long as he's out of the way, I guess.
Good Lord, dude. They're free. All three of the West Memphis Three boys, Damien Echols, Jason Baldwin, Jesse Miskelly, they're free. But, you know, the state of Arkansas, with their trials and everything, having solidified that the real... They've pretty much made it impossible for the real perpetrator of the crimes... to ever see justice.
Yeah, it's been too long.
Because it would be double jeopardy, wouldn't it? Like, is that how that works?
I mean, I don't...
You can't be tried for... No, so that's
yeah,
different.
It wouldn't
different
be double jeopardy, but I think... I mean, I don't know what the statute of limitations is on that. But it... I mean, there's going to be no way to gather new evidence, so if you didn't have it at first, yeah. You're fucked.
They basically closed the case, so whoever actually did this is never going to be caught. And if they are, I don't think they'll... see time in jail.
No, they'll never see any time behind bars for it or anything.
Yeah, even if the right man is found, yeah, it's he's not gonna be held accountable.
I mean, that's a sad way to look at.
I say
end.
This every time that we're in this room and you drink Monster, but that smells crazy. It smells
like gasoline. Like, I
at
swear
first,
to God.
I think it's a fart, and then I'm like, oh wait, it might be sweet. It might be. Like, anyway,
it's diarrhea if somebody only ate Pez out of a Pez dispenser.
Pretty much, dude. If you're just a solid diet of Pez, and that maybe pee. Maybe that's what Monster is Pez pee.
Pez piss.
That just really gets you going.
Pee pee Pez.
Oh, I kind of glazed over it, but that was the end of the series.
Yeah, that's the wrap up.
That
there.
Was the end of the,
we made a
the
hard
West Memphis
transition.
3.
But that's the less
topped off there with some Monster.
That's the less optimistic way to look at the end. It does suck. It's unfortunate, but they did get out, so that's a win. You know, it took forever, but they made it. So whatever.
That was half their life when they got out.
Yeah, no one's happy about it, but you know, it did get an ending. It got a resolution.
So maybe you know, get a lawyer immediately.
Yeah, if you're
whenever you're being questioned by the police, because they might just think you're a demon guy.
If you're going to take anything away from this episode, always...
Don't trust the police. Well, always trust yourself.
That helps.
First.
Always,
then, you know,
always...
Move on accordingly.
Configure with a lawyer. Never try to figure this shit out yourself. No matter who you are, always get an outside opinion.
Yeah. I just referred to whatever happened at the end as double jeopardy. That's not even right.
That is true.
And I'm not a lawyer.
That's true.
I would not know what to do.
But yeah, that is the series on the West Memphis 3. It's a very sad, very far-reaching story that does end on a semi-positive note.
Yeah, we got to mention like celebrities and stuff.
Yeah, that was...
that was awesome.
Sure. But... what was I going to say? I lost everything I was about to say.
Kids are dead.
Yeah, kids died. Nobody answered for the crime. The people that did answer were innocent. And luckily, they were let go. The only downside to this story is that no one's ever going to figure out who fucking killed those kids because nobody really cares anymore. It's kind of over.
No, no one gives a shit. I still think it was Mr. Bojangles.
I think he definitely knew. If he didn't do it, he knew what happened.
He definitely seen some shit.
He was present and accounted for, absolutely, in my eyes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the West Memphis 3, everybody. How about that?
How about that? Have you ever had Bojangles?
I have not.
Me either. I've we should try that sometime.
I've heard of it quite a bit, but I've
like
never had
Southern
it.
Is like a Southern thing?
It has to be, right?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. It's like Bojangles and then... I don't know. Where'd Cane's come from?
I think that's South, right?
That's also the South.
I believe so. I know Raising Cane's is
down
south.
The South just has great chicken, don't they?
They know how to eat down south, man. They know what's going on down there.
They don't know how to handle a triple murder.
Well, that's a valid point. But anyway. Yeah, I mean, that is the story. It was a bit of a longer series, but we got through it. You guys now know the tale.
We got it.
You can impress all of your friends with this really horrifying story.
Yeah. Make sure to mention all the terrible thing, like the mutilation of the small boy's penis.
Oh, yeah. Tell them that.
All the trust you can have in the police. And just lying waitress neighbors you think are your friends.
Hell yeah. But with all that being said, that is effectively our series
that is,
on the West
series.
Memphis 3. I love you all very much. I hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And we will see you in what will be December, because that is next week.
How many pounds of turkey did you eat?
At least a good, probably a solid pound, if not more.
Excellent.
Probably.
What about you, Mitch?
Probably not a pound.
Like
maybe half?
Half a pound?
Yeah.
It's fucking peanuts, dude.
I'm
nothing.
Skinny.
You are skinny. I will give you that. Oh, yeah. I also hope you had a good Thanksgiving and everything. Are we going to do the Patreon after this? Throw that up there for those folks. Yeah, it'll be sweet. Anyway, yeah, we are starting a cult. That's Grant. I'm Jake. Mitch was here. The dog has left. I don't know where he went. Where'd he go? He's not here. He's gone. So the Patreon I just mentioned, there's a link down below for that. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And YouTube, like and subscribe there. We have an email, startacult@gmail.com, and a TikTok. That is WASAC_pod.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.